88th Anniversary National Convention. Opening keynote address. Meeting our obligations to our community and the world.
The person who is going to introduce our keynote speaker. The person making that introduction is the Honorary President of the Orthodox Union, Mr. Moses I. Feuerstein. To say that Mo is the Honorary President really understates what he has contributed to the Orthodox Union. He served as President of the Orthodox Union for 12 years, and during that time, he took the organization from being one that existed essentially on paper to one that became active in all areas of Orthodox Jewish life. It's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Moses Feuerstein.
Thank you very much. Dean of the Yeshiva of Brisk in Chicago, which he founded, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, in addition, will be commuting this year to New York City to give three weekly shiurim at the Rabbi Isaac Elkanan Theological Seminary of Yeshiva University. Renowned son of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and younger brother of Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik Yibodel L'Chaim, our speaker is also a grandson of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the innovator of an analytic method of Talmudic study, which became basic to the study of Talmud in our day. Born in Haslovich in Poland, Rabbi Soloveitchik is a graduate of Yeshiva College, a recipient of smicha from the Rabbi Isaac Elkanan Theological Seminary. He also attended graduate school at NYU, where he earned a degree in law. He has been a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva Reb Chaim Berlin and Dean of the Faculty of the Hebrew Theological College in Skokie, Illinois. The author of many scholarly articles, Rabbi Soloveitchik is well known for his scholarship in Talmud, Jewish law, and contemporary Jewish thought. Our guest is destined to play an increasingly vital role in the evolving Torah leadership of our times. It is an honor for me to introduce to this distinguished assemblage of lay and rabbinic leaders for the keynote address of the convention, Harav Hagaon, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik.
Mr. Feuerstein, Mr. Postel, revered members of the days, distinguished rabbis, ladies and gentlemen, before I start my address, I would like to tell you a certain story about my grandfather, Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was Robin Brisk, that everybody knows. In those days, it wasn't customary for a Rav to speak every Shabbos. Like all his contemporary colleagues, Reb Chaim was expected to speak twice a year, Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Shuvi. On Shabbos HaGodol, he spoke only Halachi. Shabbos Shuvi, however, the Barabbatim of Brisk insisted that he must speak Divrei Techocho and Divrei Musa. Reb Chaim was very unhappy about it, but couldn't have helped it. The Balabatim expected. Whenever Reb Chaim spoke Shabbos Shuvah, Divrei Techocho and Musa, he used to preface his address by saying, Rabbi Isai, I'm going to say Divrei Musa and Divrei Techocho. I'm cognizant of the Gemara of Kshoit Atzmicho v'hakach Kshoit Achirim, end of the Gemara, כמו עמים יש בדיר הזה מי שידע להכריח. Consequently, when I will be saying דברי מוסר and דברי חוכה, all the מוסר will be directed against myself, not toward you. I don't think I'm worthy to say Musa to you. But then you ask, Reb Chaim said, if the Divrei Musa will be directed towards myself, why do I have to come to shul to speak? I can close myself up in my bedroom and say Divrei Musa to myself. I would have done that. But if I were to close myself up in the bedroom and say Divrei Musa to myself, then you would all think that I'm a shule. So because of that, I decided to come to shul and to say Divrei Musa to myself. If any one of you happens to think that he's also in the same position, all right, that's not my fault. But it will be a pure monologue. So if Reb Chaim felt unworthy to say Musa to other people, so it's a Kal Vachomer ben Bnei Shel Kal Vachomer that I am unworthy to say Musa to anybody, certainly not to the people who are assembled at the OU convention. And in respect to myself, there is an additional reason as to why lately I have to say Musa to myself. Lately, I am constantly involved in introspective thinking. The reason is that lately I am going through an identity crisis. Now you all know that Erickson, the psychologist, spoke of an identity crisis in teenagers, but I am in the upper 60s and I am going through a very serious identity crisis. I don't know what I am. Am I a Buddhist? Am I a Mizrahi? Am I a Torah Karte? Some people tell me, some rabbis who consider themselves as representatives of the left-wing modern Orthodox rabbinate, tell me that I am not only a Buddhist, I am a Torah Karte. On the other hand, there are some right-wing rabbinim, call them Kitzenim, I don't like to use that name, who accuse me of being a Mizrahi, because in Yeshivas Brisk we say Hara without a Broche. And many Mizrahim are angry as to why we don't say a Broche. There are some Mizrahi who are very angry at me for the fact that in Yeshivas Brisk we don't even say Hara without a Broche on Yom Yerushalayim. And one time when I criticized very severely the practice of saying Halal Yom Ha'atzmaus at night, and I said that this practice is grounded in ignorance and in chutzpah, so one called me up and he said, you are worse than the Nitori card. So I don't know what I am. Me ani, mo ani. And on a political level, I'm also confused. Am I a Republican? Am I a Democrat? I don't know what. So because of that, I am constantly, lately engaged in introspective thinking. And I constantly engage mentally in a soliloquy. So because of that, it's important for me to think aloud and to say Tichoche to myself. It will be a pure monologue. In the course of my address, there might be certain expressions that will appear as a criticism of the right-wing rabbis. So it will be directed against myself because I consider myself a right-wing rabbi. There will be certain statements that will appear as criticism of the left-wing rabbis. That will also be directed to myself. I consider myself as a left-wing rabbi. I even consider myself as a centrist. I'm everything. I'm a right-wing rabbi, left-wing rabbi, centrist, a good Mizrahi, to account for everything. So whatever criticism I'll be saying, it will be directed against myself. The convention theme of this OU convention is Tikkun Olam, meeting our obligations to our community and the world. Rabbi Stolper, in his letter to me, writes that specifically the convention theme is what is the obligation of the American Orthodox Jewish community to the non-Orthodox community and to the non-Jewish community. I decided to discuss only one half of the convention theme, namely, what is the obligation of the American Orthodox Jewish community to the non-Orthodox community? This question involves a very controversial problem. The other half of the convention theme as to our obligations to the non-Jewish community does not involve a controversial problem. I am confident that 90% of the Orthodox Jews in this country will agree that vis-a-vis the non-Jewish community, our relationship with them and our behavior towards them has to be based upon the concepts of tolerance, equality, brotherhood, and mutual respect, as it was explicitly expressed and pointed out by the Harav Amiri in Bava Kame, in Avodah Zarah, in Sanhedrin, in Yume, and in many other Mesichtes, and by the Be'er HaGelo, in Cheshmishpet Zimen Tov Chofei, and in Cheshmishpet Zimen Reish Nun Tes, and by the Tzemach Tzedek in Yeshivas HaYadeir Chesribis, and by the Oruch HaShulchan in Yoredeir Simen Reish Nun Alev, and by the Sheol Meshif, this is Sheol Nathanson, in his Maguret Rishoye, Anchish Mishpet, Simen Nun, and by the late Hagoyen Harav Henkin Zechen Levroche, in his article in Hadarom called Keitz Hayomim. All these Chachomim point out that vis-a-vis the non-Jews of today, the Christians and the Muslims, they are nothing, they are disorder, they have to be treated like the Eret Yishuv. And in respect to the Eret Yishuv, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Melachim says explicitly, V'yirali sheleagim in the Eret Yishuv b'derech eretz u'b'gnus chasodim k'moyim Yisrael. Afilu imo akum. Akum means pagans. Omru chachomim she'on mechuyobim lifanei saniyeyem u'vakeh chileyem שנאמר תיב עד השם לקהל ורחם עובר כל מסוב ונאמר דרוכה עוד ארכיני עם וכל מסביסר שון. So in respect to the non-Jewish community, there is no controversial question. Only those Jews who are not knowledgeable in the Halacha and don't know what the attitude of the Chachma Yisrael throughout the generations has been, can make all kinds of bizarre statements. But it's not to be discussed. It's not a non-controversial question. However, in respect to our obligations toward the non-Orthodox Jewish community, we have different views and different approaches. I think that the question as to how we should act toward the non-Orthodox Jewish community should be treated
from the halachic perspective, and from a halachic perspective only, namely by analyzing the various halachos relating to our relationship with the non-Jewish community. I would like to preface the halachic discussion by telling you a story I heard 44 years ago from one of the Dei Ador, Reb Chaim Heller, about the Tzemach Tzedek. This happened approximately 150 years ago, when the Tzemach Tzedek was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, one of the secular maskilim in those days, who was reputed as an apikeres, came to the Tzemach Tzedek to discuss certain issues with him. The Tzemach Tzedek received him cordially and talked to him for several hours. Some of the Kanoim, the zealots in the Lubavitch, were very upset by the friendship that the Tzemach Tzedek has shown to the Maskil Apikeyas. However, not even one of the elders in the Lubavitch had the audacity to approach the Tzemach Tzedek and ask him why he received the Maskil Apikeyas in a cordial manner. But there was in Lubavitch in those days a young man in his early 20s, an outstanding Ilu, a prodigy who was considered as a Boki Bishas, and also as a Boki in Dalet Halki Shulchan Aruch. He decided, in face of the exhortations by Zikni Lubavitch to the contrary, to enter the study of the Tzemach Tzedek and reprimand the Tzemach Tzedek for his cordial treatment of the Maskil Apikeyas. He said to the elders in Lubavitch, who exhorted him not to act so impulsively and so audaciously, "I am going to reprimand the Tzemach Tzedek for showing friendship to the Maskil Apikeyas in conformity to the Gemara in Maseches Bar Mitzvah, Daf Lamed Aleph, to Chiyach, Eili Elo Horav LeTalmid, Talmid LeRav Menayim, He entered the study of the Tzemach Tzedek and he said to the Tzemach Tzedek, "I don't understand the Rebbe. A Maskil who is known as an apikeres, preaching heretical concepts and is not even a tinnik shenishbo, pays a visit to the Rebbe. This Maskil definitely comes within the category of those who are meridim l'maalim, to wit, one is not supposed even to save their lives when their lives are in jeopardy. And the Rebbe, loy died, the Rebbe does not oust the Maskil Apikeyas from his house as he should, but he even talks to the Maskil Apikeyas for several hours as if the Maskil had been a nice person." The Tzemach Tzedek listened patiently to the stringent tichoche by the young Gilu and Kanoi. And when the young Gilu and Kanoi finished his piece, the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, "Young man, I listened very attentively to your admonitions to me. I really don't have to explain my conduct to you. I acted in conformity to the Din. However, in order that you and your followers should not labor under the notion that I infringed upon the halacha of Meridim L'Maalim, I want to point out to you that unfortunately you did not learn the halacha of Meridim L'Maalim in depth. Had you delved thoroughly into the intricacies of the halacha of Meridim L'Maalim, then you would know that the halacha of Meridim L'Maalim is a prerogative that can be exercised by Gdei Yisrael in an extraordinary, unusual situation if after due deliberation the Gdei Yisrael come to the inescapable conclusion that the application of drastic measures against apostasy is indispensable to the preservation of the Torah. But under ordinary circumstances, the prerogative of Meridim B'Lemayli cannot be exercised, as it is mentioned explicitly by the Shita Mekubetes at the end of Meseches Bava Kama in the name of the Rav Amiri, and by the Piskei Teisves in Avizor Daf Chavov, and by the Rambam at the end of Meren Buchim, Book 3, Chapter 50. On the contrary, the Tzemach Tzedek said, not in an extraordinary situation when there is no special Tzer HaShol to apply drastic sanctions against apikorsim, then the Bach in Siman Reishin Aleph in Yodea says that it's even incumbent upon us to maintain friendly relations with apikorsim and mumlachs by supporting them, visiting their sick, consoling their mourners, and burying their dead in the same way as the Mishnah in Gittin requires it in connection with pagans. And the Tzemach Tzedek also said to the young Yilud Kanoi, you felt impelled to give me tichoche because of the Morim Bomitzie of Afiru Talmud Rav, so I'll give you tichoche of Rav Talmud. You are obviously a big deal, perhaps even a big tzaddik, but you are not Yosho. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch have four divisions, Irachayim, Iradeye, Ebenezer, and Cheshim Ishpot. The Irachayim has 696 simonim, Iradeye has 403 simonim, Ebenezer has 178 simonim, Cheshim Ishpot has 427 simonim. In total, there are 1,704 simonim in the Dalet Chodesh Shulchan Aruch. The halacha of Meridim B'Lemayli is discussed in the Tur and Shulchan Aruch in the last simonim of Cheshim Ishpot. But what do the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch discuss in the first simon of Erechayim? In the first simon of Erechayim, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch cite the Mishneh in Oves, Pirkei Mishnechof. There's the last Mishneh in Pirkei of Oves. Yehuda ben Teimeimeir, Heviyas Kanoneir, Vikal Kanesher, Rotz Katzvi, Vigiber Kari, Laseis Ritzim Avicho Shadashamayim. Yehuda ben Teimeir says, be as bold as a leopard, light as an eagle, swift as a deer, and strong and courageous as a lion, in order to do the will of thy Father in heaven. And the Torah says, ask an omeir, be as bold as a leopard. Omar kineged ha'apikorsim ha'malidim la'mitzvahs. That is reference to the apikorsim who ridicule us for doing the mitzvahs. Whereupon the Bais Yosef says, Umasho maras kanomeir, kineged apikorsim, loy rotzoleima ashi idaber, bechutzpe beazus, kineged apikorsim, hamaludim ala mitzvahs. Sho azus im nido meguno admiroit, vim yisravir idaber beazus o bechutzpo, neged apikorsim, המלידים על המצווס במקין עבדס הברי עוד בוודאי שידבר בחוץ פה ובעזוס גם שלוי במקין עבדס הברי. The Bais Yosef points out that when the Torah says be as bold as a leopard, he doesn't mean that we should talk insolently and rudely towards apikorsim, because rudeness, chutzpah, is an unethical and destructive quality. And if a person habituates himself to talk with rudeness toward apikorsim, then no probability he will talk rudely to those who are not apikorsim as well. The Tzemach Tzedek said to the Yilu, the Torah says, כיסה הטבע יושו בעיני יד השם הלקחו. Whereupon the Zephri says, Hatev b'ni shamayim v'ayosho b'ni odom. You don't adhere to the imperative of doing hayosho b'ni odom. Do you know why? Because you learned the Res Simen Shulchan Aruch, which discusses the din of meridim l'mayim, before you learned the first Simen Shulchan Aruch, which mentions the halacha that a person should not talk with chutzpah towards anybody, not even towards Afikosim. When the young Yilu heard this tichoche, he said to the Tzemach Tzedek, why does the Rebbe say that I did not learn the first Simen Shulchan Aruch? I learned all the simonim and all the Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. The Tzemach Tzedek responded, I did not say that you did not learn the first Simen Shulchan Aruch. I said that you did not learn the Shulchan Aruch in the proper order. You started at the end and went backwards. That's why you are a Nikish, you're not a Yosho. This is the reason as to why you're not acting in accordance with the mitzvah of Asase Hateva Yosho, Beine Adishem Alekacho, Hatoiv Beine Shomayim, Vayosho Beine Gnodom. In order that you should become a Yosho, you have to start learning new. And this time, you'll have to start from the first simon and go to the end of the Shulchan Aruch. Then you'll become a Yosho. This story about the Tzemach Tzedek is expressive of the halachic guidelines in respect to the obligations incumbent upon us towards those who have a din of apikosim b'mezid, those apikosim who come within the category of meridim b'lamayim. The overwhelming majority of the Reform and Conservative Jews in this country do not even come within the category of Meridim L'mayim, because the overwhelming majority of the Reform and Conservative Jews have a din of Tinik Shel Yishbo, and according to the Rambam Hilchos Mamrim, have to be treated in the same way as regular Jews, and we have to extend to them the same degree of brotherhood and love as to Jews who are Mamunim. I would like to tell a story about Rab Chaim, which is expressive of the same attitude and halachic approach as the one revealed by the story about the Tzemach Tzedek. In 1903, many Jewish youngsters in Russia became engulfed by the radical ideologies of communism and socialism, and the political radicalism of the Jewish youngsters was coupled with atheism and spiteful attitude towards Judaism. One young Jewish radical in Brisk, who was known as a Yimel Hachis, in the presence of many Tsarist soldiers with a toy gun in his hands, shot Tsar Nicholas in effigy. This Jewish radical was sentenced to be shot by a fire squad within 1 week as of the sentence. This sentence was imposed in Aseret Yemichuva in 1903. The Tsarist regime had one advantageous quality, namely, with a substantial bribe, Jews were able to obtain a revocation of a sentence. The magistrate of Brest-Litovsk said that if the Jews of Brest-Litovsk will pay a fine of 5,000 rubles, then the sentence will be revoked and the young radical will be released. Reb Chaim called an emergency meeting of the Rosh HaKol at his home on the day before Erev Yom Kippur, and he demanded of them that they provide the 5,000 rubles to save the life of the young radical. Rosh HaKol, consisting of some who were observant and some who were not observant, but Zionistic, unanimously spoke up against Reb Chaim Zman. As a matter of fact, the father of Menachem Begin was a member of the Rosh HaKol in those days. The unlearned members of the Rosh HaKol said to Reb Chaim, it's a mitzvah to have this young radical and communist executed. Reb Chaim responded to this argument that the mitzvah of Bi'arto Horom Rekebecho applies only to one who was Nidmar Dini Niso by the Sanhedrin Bizman Abayis and not to any other Rosh. A few learned members of the Rosh HaKol said to Reb Chaim that inasmuch as the young radical was an atheist and a numer hachis, he comes within the category of Meridian Lamailin, and consequently it is osir to save him. Reb Chaim responded to this argument by citing the Shittim Rebetes at the end of Avakame, that the din of Meridian Lamailin is a prerogative to be exercised by Dei Hador in a special situation of Steir Hashor. However, the Rosh HaKol overruled the demand of Reb Chaim. A whole day of Erev Yom Kippur, Reb Chaim tried to prevail upon the Rosh HaKol that they should provide the 5,000 ruble, but without avail. Then, as all the Jews came into the shul in Brisk for Komidre service, Reb Chaim told the Rosh HaKol that he will not let them say Komidre until they will bring the 5,000 ruble and they will hand it over to the magistrate. They said to Reb Chaim in amazement, but soon it will be in Kippur. How can we do it? Reb Chaim said, Pikuach Nefesh is Deich Yom Kippur. Even the Pikuach Nefesh of the biggest Rosh is Deich Yom Kippur. Even the Pikuach Nefesh of the stupid Buddhist is Deich Yom Kippur. And I'm not going to let you say Komidre until you bring the money to the magistrate. The Rosh HaKol became dumbfounded and they did what Reb Chaim told them. They got the money and brought it to the magistrate and obtained from the magistrate a written release for the Buddhist. Then they came to shul and Reb Chaim told them to say Komidre. These two stories about the Tzemach Tzedek and Reb Chaim are reflective not only of the compassionate and tolerant attitude of the two Torah giants towards non-Orthodox Jews, even towards atheistic and anti-religious Jews, but are reflective of the general attitude of compassion and tolerance entertained by daily Israel towards non-Orthodox Jews, even atheists throughout the ages. I remember very well how in 1952, when Judge Kaufman, who was a Jewish judge to our shame, sentenced Julius and Ethel Rosenberg to the electric chair for alleged espionage activity on behalf of Soviet Russia, the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Harav Herzog and Harav Uziel became involved in an endeavor to save the lives of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. These folk daily sent cables to outgoing President Truman and incoming President Eisenhower, urging them to grant a pardon to Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Curiously, but not coincidentally, not one Reform rabbi and not one conservative rabbi was involved in the endeavor to save the lives of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, even though Dr. Oppenheimer, who was then the greatest expert on the atomic bomb, affirmed that due to the fact that Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were not trained in the sciences of chemistry and physics, it was impossible for Julius and Ethel Rosenberg to convey and divulge important information to the intelligence service of Soviet Russia. Curiously, the Khaznish in Yeredeye mentions a remarkable point, namely that the din of Navidim Remailim has no application nowadays altogether, because nowadays drastic sanctions against heretics can only be conducive to the promotion of heresy and atheism, and not conducive to the preservation of faith in the Torah. In the ancient days, when the overwhelming majority of the masses were imbued with the Munah and Yerushalayim, and non-believers or only a few, drastic sanctions against heretics could conceivably, in special, extraordinary situations, be conducive to the preservation of faith in the Torah. But today, when non-believers are so numerous, drastic measures against apikorsim could only be conducive to alienation and atheism. This remarkable chiddush by the Chaznish was mentioned by implication by the Tiras Chaim in his chiddushim on Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. I would like to mention a story, another story about Rav Chaim that illustrates remarkably the distinction between kanoes against apikorsim and again and kanoes against apikorses. Rav Chaim once received a letter from a well-known kanoni in those days. In this letter, the well-known kanoi wrote to Rav Chaim that in view of the fact that the maskilim and the Zionists are doing so much havoc in Jewish life, it is incumbent upon the Rabbonim to fight them and to pursue them. Rav Chaim was reading the letter, and Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan of Brisk, asked Rav Chaim what was written in the letter, and Rav Chaim told him what was written in the letter. Then Rav Simcha Zelig asked him whether he plans to join the writer of that letter in waging a war against the maskilim, the apikorsim. Rav Chaim responded, "No." Rav Simcha Zelig asked him, "Why not?" Rav Chaim said, "I am the writer of this letter, cannot sit down at the same table and discuss anything between me and the writer of this letter. There is the same difference and divergence as between the cat and the housewife. The cat and the housewife dislike the house pests, but there is one basic difference. The housewife does not like the house pests because she does not want that there should be house pests in the house. The cat wants that there should be pests in the house. The cat would feel very miserable if there wouldn't be any pests in the house. The cat wants that there should be more and more pests so that the cat would be able to devour them. I don't like the maskilim because they are apikorsim. I would like that all the maskilim and all the sexual Zionists should do tshuva. I adhere to the concept expressed by Brurya Ishes Rav Meir, Yitamu Chatoi Mi'oretz, V'lo Yitamu Chetim. And my hope and prayer is that the maskilim should do tshuva, so I wouldn't have to fight anybody. But the writer of this letter, he would feel very miserable if the maskilim did tshuva. He would have no one to fight against. So because of that, I am the writer of this letter, so cannot sit down together at the same table to discuss anything. To express it succinctly, according to Rav Chaim, there are two kinds of kanoim. They are kanoim of the cat syndrome, and then they are kanoim of the housewife syndrome. The kanoi of the cat syndrome is apt to direct his kanoes against the sinners against the apicosin themselves, not for the purpose of counteracting apicosis and rhesus. And consequently, these canoeing will sometimes carry out their canoes in a violent way, like the canoeing who throw stones at the cars that are driven on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, and the canoeing who smear and even burn down bus shelters with indecent advertisement posters, even though they know that these tactics will tend to promote apoplexy and vicious, and will precipitate acts of sacrilege and vandalism. The reason as to why they act this way is because their motto is not in accordance with Brulius Tolasi. Their motto is Yitamu Chaitim V'Roi Chatoim. However, the canoeing of the housewife syndrome, they direct their canoes not against the apikorsim and the rishoyim, but against apikorses and rishes. Their motto is in line with Brewer's philosophy of Yitamu Chatoim V'Roi Chaitim. Consequently, they carry out their canoes against apikorses and against rishes with dignity and without violence, while canoes directed against apikorsim and rishoyim is an improper and destructive quality. Canoes directed exclusively against apikorses and rishes is an admirable and obligatory quality. Rabbi Meleime in Shari Tshuve, Shar Shlishi, Simin Kuvazayin, Kufayin Zayin says that when one fails to show canoes, he uses that expression, when one fails to show canoes against apikorsis, against sin, against cruelty, against deceit, and against falsity, he comes in the category of kat hanefim. In respect to whom the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that they are not likabel pnei shchino. Shenema kiloi lifonof chonof yobei.
This program is continued on the opposite side.
comes in the category of Katchanifim, then it violates the Lav Deraise of Lei Sachrifo. It is obvious that when Orthodox Rabbonim acquiesce and go along with the endeavor of Reform and conservative rabbis to falsify the Halacha by allowing conservative and Reform rabbis to use the Orthodox Mikveh that is under their aegis for conservative and Reform deos, thereby perpetrating the fraud upon the converts, most of whom are sincerely interested in a genuine conversion, and also tainting the Jewish people with the blemish of spurious Jews, that these outright rabbonim definitely infringe upon the love of Lei Sachrifo. Even though the Orthodox Rabbonim do it l'shem shamayim in order to preserve the unity in the Jewish community. For this kind of laxity on the part of Rabbonim and the Orthodox Jews to accommodate Reform rabbis and conservative rabbis with Gios and Lei Kaloche, we all have to say, Oshanu Mikolam, Boishnu Mikolay. And when I say we all have to say, I mean everybody, I mean myself, I mean left-wing Rabbonim, right-wing Rabbonim, centrist Rabbonim, Rabbonim Kanoim, all of us are guilty in this Havele. In a similar vein, when Orthodox Rabbonim remain silent in face of the impudent demands by the Reform and Conservative rabbis that their gittin and their deos be recognized as valid like Orthodox gittin and Orthodox deos, then the Orthodox Rabbonim are guilty of chanufa, and all of us have to say, Oshanu Mikolam, Boishnu Mikolay. You will not find it among the Catholics that a Catholic, one single Catholic priest, should advocate accommodating anti-Catholics. Only among us, among the other Jews, there is that kind of laxity in the affairs. Similarly, when an Orthodox rabbi, any religious leader in Israel, when faced with the dilemma of either resigning from his post as member of the Israeli cabinet or submitting to the ruling of the Israeli Supreme Court, urging him, requiring him to register a Reformed convert as a Jewess, decides to comply with the Supreme Court ruling rather than resign, then all the Jews, all the Orthodox Jews, whether they are Ashkenazim or Sfaradim, who are silent, have to say Rudu and say Oshanu Mikolam, Boishnu Mikolay. I would like to conclude my address on the obligations of the Orthodox Jewish community towards the non-Orthodox community by citing again the Mishnah Novice in full. Yehuda ben Teinemeir, Heliast Kananeir, Kal Kanasher, Rotz Katzvi, Giber Klavi, Lasseis Ritzin of Yehoshua Shemayim. The same Mishnah that is mentioned as the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. I would like to explain this Mishnah, which gives us the blueprint in our encounter with the Apikorsim, Hamaligim HaMitzvahs, as the Torah says, or the non-Orthodox community. Yehuda ben Teinah herein lays down four guidelines in our encounter with the secular non-Orthodox community. The first guideline is Heviyas Kananeya, be as bold as a leopard, which, as Bais Yosef points out, does not mean, Chas V'Sholem, that one should act rudely towards apikorsim. Rudeness and chutzpah are unethical and destructive qualities and should not be practiced even towards apikorsim. But askanamah means that when apikorsim ridicule us for our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should not feel frustrated and inhibited in our commitment and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I pointed out in this address, that askanamah implies that we have to be kanoim against apikorsis, kanoim of the housewife syndrome, as Reb Chaim expressed it, not against apikorsim, not kanoim of the cat syndrome. Now I would like to explain the other three guidelines. The second guideline is hevikal kanesher, be as light as an eagle. What is the meaning of the expression kal kanesher, light as an eagle? In Shmos, Perek Tes, Pasuk Daled, the Torah says, Atem le'isem, asher osisim Yisrael, v'eseschem al tamfim Yisholim, v'eseschem lai. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. What is the meaning of the expression al tamfim Yisholim in this passage? Rabbi Yevadia Sforna says, V'eseschem al tamfim Yisholim derech le'ov aboyish noy hanesher המלך חזבונוב ברומא אדיר אשר לא יהיה לו בישום להיפך היה וזה להבדיל אסכם מתיעבי ישען של מצרים ומלעסקיהם ליאסרי. This implies that the expression I bore you on eagle's wings means that the Rebbeinu Shalom carried the Israelites high in the sky above the space where the birds of prey fly, so that the Israelites were not exposed to the possibility of becoming devoured or contaminated by the abominations and perversions of the Egyptians. It follows from this that when Yehuda ben Tania said, "Hevikal kanesher, be as light as an eagle in your encounter with apikorsim, with the non-Orthodox Jewish community," he meant that in our encounter with apikorsim, with the non-Orthodox community, we have to soar above the spheres where the Reform and Conservative rabbis operate, if we want to be secure against falling prey to their influence. Orthodox rabbis are not to have dialogues with Reform and Conservative Jews. This never happened in the course of the millennial history of the Jewish people, that Orthodox rabbonim, Chachmei Yisrael, should engage in dialogue with Karoim and Zdukim and Aishusim. Never happened. For Orthodox rabbonim to adopt a resolution that is expressive of gratitude to the Rabbinic Assembly for rejecting patrilineal dissent is not only inconsistent with the guideline of a Kal Kanesher, but is also reflective of an attitude of extreme shittus hanefesh, severity, and lack of self-respect. The plan to set up a national basin for Deus and for Gittin, in spite of the fact that the motive is sublime, the motive is to reduce Mamzeres to a minimum, but as the Malach told the Malach HaKuzarim, מחשבתך רצויו לפני הקדיש ברוך הוא, אבל מעשיך הם רצויים. This idea of setting up a national bezdin for geos and gittin, as sublime as the mountain is, but it is a preposterous plan. It not only is an impossibility, it involves a mathematical impossibility. It's like suggesting to a convention of mathematicians that they should try to construct a triangle. Everybody knows that a triangle has 100 male degrees. Suppose someone will make a suggestion to a convention of mathematicians to construct such a beautiful triangle that will have not 100 male degrees, but 540 degrees. Three times as much! But that's a mathematical impossibility. A bezdin, by definition, consists of three chachomim, Yirei Shamayim. How can a someone who is not a real competent Rav and a Yirei Shamayim be part of a bezdin? It's like trying to construct a triangle of 540 degrees. The third guideline mentioned by Yehuda ben Teyme is that the Rotz Katzvi be as swift as a deer. What is the meaning of this expression, swift as a deer? I think that the meaning of the expression, have the Rotz Katzvi be as swift as a deer, is that in our encounter with the non-Orthodox community, we have to resort to integrated vision. We have to see what takes place in front of us. We also have to see what takes place at a distance from us. We have to look backwards. We also have to look sideways. When a deer runs, he constantly looks backwards and sideways. Rashi mentions it in Shir HaShirim, in connection with the shawl and the deer, that whenever a shawl or a deer runs, he constantly looks backwards and sideways to make sure that no one is pursuing the deer. The running of the deer is symbolic of integrated vision. An unfortunate phenomenon that is reflective of deficiency in integrated vision is the servile tribute that is paid by the Orthodox press and some modern Orthodox rabbis to conservative rabbis or conservative professors who protested against the decision of the seminary to ordain women. When I first read in the Orthodox Jewish press the enthusiastic report about the professor at the seminary who resigned from his post, allegedly in protest against the seminary's decision to ordain women, I myself felt at first, while I was still under the impact of this enthusiastic account given by the Yiddish press, that this professor was a real hero and that he deserved at least the Purple Heart Medal. However, shortly afterwards, I happened to read an article written by the same so-called right-wing professor and published in a very prestigious and scholarly Orthodox journal. After reading this article that was written by this so-called right-wing professor, I became dumbfounded. This article rejects the antiquity of the Torah Shebaal Peh. He writes that his thesis is, and I'm quoting him verbatim, that the simple medrash according to him means the halachas that are based upon the plain meaning of the pasuk, without recourse to the application of the so-called hermeneutic principles, Midrash HaTeir and Rashban. The simple Midrash was developed relatively early, he writes, the 2nd century before the Common Era. That's relatively very early. But the complex Midrash, that means all the halachas that are deduced from the Midrash HaTeir and Rashban, was developed much, much later, in the 2nd century after the Common Era. And this professor had the audacity to write that many of the droshes mentioned in the Mishneh and the Medrash HaLoche attributed to earlier Chachamim were in fact developed and promulgated by Rabbeinu HaKodesh and by the editors of the various Midrash HaLoche, but falsely attributed to earlier sages in accordance with the practice that prevailed among scholars in ancient times to attribute something that was developed by a certain author to a previous author. And he mentions the Raya, because the Mishneh in Shpolim Perek Vav says, Zud Roshe Dorash Yod HaKein Gadol. So he said, can you believe, is it conceivable that Yod HaKein Gadol, who lived about 800 years before the Common Era, did use this Roshe? How can one believe that? So that proves that the bulk of the Droshes were developed by Rabbeinu HaKodesh and the editors of the various Midrash HaLoche, but falsely attributed to the earlier sages. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Daftar Diktes, Vafu Oma Kol HaTir Kuro, Min HaShamayim, Chutz Mididuk Zeh, Chutz Mikol Chim Hazeh, Chutz Mikzer Shod Ezo, Zehu Kivar Adishem Boza. If one rejects the divine origin of one's Roshe, he comes within the pasuk of Kedvar Hashem Bozo. And here a so-called right-wing professor, who is acclaimed as a hero by the Orthodox press, openly says that he rejects the antiquity, not only the divine origin, but the antiquity of the whole Torah Shebalpeh, from Aleph to Tov. That doesn't amaze me that the professor of the seminary who resigned in protest against the seminary's decision to ordain women writes things like that. That doesn't amaze me at all. But what amazes me is that such a heretical article, which from a halachic perspective is as despicable as the Bible criticism of Wellhausen, and much more dangerous than the Bible criticism of Wellhausen, publishes such a despicable article. How can we explain it? Well, there is only one answer, that not even one member of the editorial board of this prestigious scholarly Orthodox journal read the article. Why didn't they read? They were so overwhelmed by the fact that this professor at the seminary resigned in protest against the seminary's decision to ordain women that they felt, why do they have to read it? Chazok al-chodah she'nimeitim tachas yodei dolo she'nimisokan. What does it show? It shows that unfortunately there are many sincere and well-meaning modern Orthodox rabbis who do not possess integrated vision, who do not possess any vision, not even unintegrated vision. And for this, we have to say, Oshamnu mikol anim, boishnu mikol dea. Now the last guideline that Yehuda ben Tema mentions is the Giber Kari, be as strong and as courageous as a lion. What's the meaning of being strong and as courageous as the lion. This definitely implies that in our encounter with Reform rabbis and conservative rabbis in this country and in Israel, we have to act strong and courageous and not to yield to any pressures and lobbying. We have to conform to the motto of Theodore Roosevelt, talk in a whisper and hold a big stick. Theodore Roosevelt might have meant it literally, but I don't mean has to show literally a big stick. I mean we should talk with dignity and politeness, but we should exercise firmness.
Thank you, Rav Soloveitchik, and I thank all of you for your quiet and attention during the keynote address. Dessert will now be served.
This concludes the tape presentation. Now, please fast forward to the end of this side.